We believe na environmental science is one of the most important courses a college student should take because it is interdisciplinary. So when I said na nature is the best visual aid, syempre I'm not just referring to the physical attributes, ano? So we are also referring to the social implications. Kasi nga, parang kahit na diverse yung background ng mga college students, it is really important for them to really get to know environmental science because it's the combination or synergy of natural sciences and social sciences, like how are we really connected with nature and nature with society.
The Ask Theory podcast shines the spotlight on Pinoy scientists from various scientific disciplines. Listen to some of the country's best scientific minds as they explain what they do in simple terms and share fascinating stories of how they got into science, the incredible things they've learned about the world around us, and so much more.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. Did you come from a class today?
Actually, I was preparing for my class tomorrow. Nag-aayos ng mga lessons and nag-check din. Parang kakatapos ko lang mag-check Republic, ano? So, nag-check ako ng mga assessment, ganyan. So, just readying myself for tomorrow.
I can't imagine how much work you have to do kasi even before the pandemic, parang napakahabang panahon na yun, no? Even before so, na-imagine ko, no, like, even before the pandemic, like, teaching has, it requires a lot of preparation, it requires, no, a lot of patience, and I can't imagine how much that patience and preparation has been stretched dito sa this new normal, so-called, na we're all trying to navigate. No, but before I kind of get ahead of myself, I would like you to introduce yourself so that our listeners can get to know you a little better. And maybe you could tell us a bit about what you do right now and, more importantly, how you fell in love with science.
So, hi everyone. I am Janaya Nicole Cortez. So, I am, most people call me Nay. So, I am a professional teacher, a licensed professional teacher, high school in particular. And then I went to grad school and then parang naging ako, mas focused na ako sa science instead of the science education. Mm-hmm. So pumunta na ako sa pure biology, ganyan. So my graduate work was about the mangroves in Siargao Island and Del Carmen Siargao Island. So usually when I introduce myself, I am a mangrove botanist and a professional teacher. Ayan.
Wow. But bakit science?
I think I can trace back during my grade school. So I was not the science wizard type. Mm-hmm. Actually, I am more of the academic delinquent. No. So para sakto lang. So I usually have above passing grades only. So I know what it's like to have special tests. Di ba pag may special test, kapag you did not perform well dun sa original quiz, you get to have a special quiz. So I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Intervention yun to save my grade. So then came a time in grade 5, I think. I had an influential science teacher. During class discussion, very timid, so very quiet student. Then she keeps on calling me, kahit di naman ako nag-raise ng hand. And then she keeps on calling me, na-challenge ako to really have a good study habit. And then eventually, that study habit affected my grades, parang positively affected my grades. And then, parang ngayon, na-fall in love na talaga with science. And up until now, ayan, gustong-gusto ko pa rin ng science. So, ayan. So, saludo po talaga tayo sa mga guro. At magiging guro pa.
Totoo yan. And I love your story kasi it's actually really inspiring. You often hear, no, na common na sa story ng scientists or science teachers na, yeah, I've always loved science ever since I was a little child. Blah, blah, blah. Grew up with lots of questions. And a lot of us can relate to that. But I think a lot of us din can relate to the struggles of a student who hindi mo masabing hindi siya smart eh, kasi there are various intelligences. But, you know, the students who do not necessarily do well sa subjects, di ba, based on the standards in school, na who might be feeling now na, hindi ako magaling sa school. This is not for me. Science is not for me. Pero coming from someone who has established a career as a science teacher, di ba? And and self-professed na you weren't exactly at the top of your class back then, but you had an inspiring science teacher, a sort of educator who pushed you. And that emphasizes the value of having good role models in education, especially kapag sa mga sciences, sa math, these subjects that may seem complicated, pero napapadali when we have the right people guiding us. In one sentence, what is your mission as a scientist and an educator?
Ayan. So my mission is to research with a teacher's heart and educate with a scientist's mind.
Wow!
Diba? May sinigil talaga siya.
Pang beauty contest.
Oo nga.
Ang galing. Pero napakaganda niyan kasi I think we can segue to my next question to you. I'm really curious because I've met a lot of scientists who pursued a career in the academe. And syempre, nandyan na yung expertise nila, nagagamit nila sa pagtuturo. Mm-hmm. But personally, how has being a scientist influenced you as an educator? And yung vice versa, how has being an educator influenced you as a scientist?
When I research kasi, I make sure that I have a teacher's heart. Kasi nga, I want to make sure that when I communicate my study, talagang I will pour a lot of effort and expertise just to deliver it well. And then, yung naman, the other way around naman, and then I want to educate with the scientist's mind because I only want to teach factual, accurate, and science-based lessons. So, saying no to misinformation.
Yes.
So, and then, to add more pa dun, so, kasi nauna ako maging educator before a scientist, no? So, being an educator influenced me in a way na I follow the hierarchy of learning. So, syempre, di ba, when you learn, you have to really start with definition of terms. And then magpro-progress na yon. Comprehension, application, analysis, synthesis, evaluation. So, kapag, for example, nahihirapan ako, for example, yung mga experiments ko failed, kasi nga, I know by myself that learning is a process and a product. So, parang na-organize ng pagiging educator ko yung workflow ko as a scientist. Ayun. And then, ano naman, yung, so when I want to present an idea, I want it to be really backed up with credible references. So, kailangan talaga, ano siya, factual and science-based. Ayun.
I love that answer. And it kind of reminds me of a story from my youth, no, as a student, na hindi naman lahat ng teacher ko naging ganito. But this experience stands out kasi medyo nalungkot ako. Nabanggit mo kasi yung credible references. So, naalala ko tong one time, my teacher, hindi siya science subject, I think it was a HECASY. So, may part dun sa HECASY that teaches a bit about Philippine geography. Saan ang mga lugar ng yung mga magagandang tanawin. Ayan. So, yung teacher ko na yun, I think this was in grade, I forgot what grade na ba sa elementary eh. So, sinuro niya sa amin yung mga, ato, yung Mount Mayon, ganyan, yung ano. Tapos, pagdating sa Chocolate Hills, sabi niya, ang Chocolate Hills ay nasa Cebu.
Cebu, okay.
Tapos ako parang, hindi naman ako nagmamarunong sa loob-loob ko, pero naalala ko talaga to dahil, in the years before, naituro na sa amin yung Bohol. Chocolate Hills ay nasa Bohol. So, tigtas ako ng kamay. Sabi ko, teacher, hindi po ba yung Chocolate Hills ay nasa Bohol? Tapos, nainis ata siya sa akin kasi hindi to verbatim pero something along the lines of mas magaling ka pa sa libro and nakalagay dito sa libro nasa Cebu siya. So that experience parang so quiet na lang ako, di upo na lang ako pero naisip ko tuloy, you know, three things from that experience. One is that not everyone responds well to correction,
yes,
or even to questions, no matter how respectfully you deliver them. And two, not every teacher, this is not a generalization, but much as every profession, not every teacher has that same level of commitment to researching or getting the facts right. Maybe some of them rely on the reference material that's given to them because for whatever reason, I don't want to speculate, pero kumbaga, you can't expect every single teacher to be as rigorous about fact-checking, although it would be great sana kung ganun, but yun nga, it's an unrealistic expectation. And third, not all reference materials are trustworthy, kahit nasa school,
yeah. Oh, di ba? Oh,
nasa academic setting.
Oh. Oh, kasi ano, parang kung sa scientific journal, dapat talaga peer-reviewed yun. Talagang marami talaga nakabasa. Hindi lang talaga yung mga teachers, ganyan. And siguro yung na-perceive ko dun sa nangyari, dun sa teacher mo, is feeling ko, siguro during our time din, it's really hard to commit a mistake. Lalo na kapag teacher ka. Sometimes, yeah. When you commit a mistake, sometimes teachers feel na nawawala yung ano nila, credibility nila. Or siguro ganun din yung perspective natin sa teacher na, ay, alam niya lahat. Hindi siya nagkakamali. So siguro, ano, we need to improve on being a humble teacher na, you know, hindi naman natin alam lahat.
Yes, oo, I agree. Kasi, in my case, kasi as a kid, I felt that was a sign of respect.
Oh,
ma'am,
no.
Hindi po ba ganito yung tinuro? Hindi po ba ganito? Kasi tinuro sa amin last year, na ganito yung, ito yung location nung ano. Eh ako, bata lang naman ako, and I had questions. to receive a response like that made me hesitant to interact with the teacher. Diba? So, and I would imagine na as an educator, definitely you would want your students to interact with you.
Oo. Siguro akala niya ano, parang siya yung ano, fountain of knowledge. Hindi kasi ganun ngayon. We view teachers na ngayon as a facilitator of learning. So, we encourage students to think critically, and then tayo yung nag-organize ng thoughts. Ay, ganito, anak, ganito yun. That's a good input. You are, in-evaluate mo na agad yung mga, yung mga responses nila. So, dapat talaga, it's a two-way process.
Ako, sana yung mga teacher na nakikinig dyan ay may matutunan from your input, your insights, or sana na-apply na rin nila yan sa kanilang ano. Especially in that story kasi, elementary, I was a grade school elementary student, so medyo bata pa, syempre, yun nga, the way we talk to kids, it kind of shapes how they perceive not just yung approach ng teacher, but education as a whole. Eh, hindi naman sa nabubuhat ng sariling bangko, pero buti na lang that did not entirely discourage me from asking questions. Kaya may Ask Theory podcast na tayo. pero if that, diba, if that experience had stuck with me, tapos ang takeaway ko din ay, ayoko na nga magtanong, edi, paano na?
Oo.
Diba?
Kailangan yung teacher mismo yung nag-create ng safe space.
Yes.
Parang you are encouraging na, ay, okay lang mag-share, ganyan. Kasi nga, okay lang din magkamali. Kasi, learning tayo eh. So, ganun talaga, we learn by the, by the comments of others, by the input of teacher, and the student din.
Tama. Ngayon, yung experience ko kanina, that was from a little child, a grade school student. So, I would imagine that teaching high school students and college students would be a bit different, lalo na dumaan ako sa phase ng high school. Yung sungay ko nung high school, iba naman yung versus yung sungay ko nung college, di ba? So, but from an educator's perspective, someone who has taught both high school students and college students, paano nyo ba ina-adjust or tinitweak yung teaching style nyo based on kung sino yung audience nyo?
So, di ba undergrad ko is talaga, science, teacher education. So, syempre, alam namin yung mga theories, yung mga mga laws of learning, mga ganyan. So given that, so alam namin how to appropriate activities sa age ng student. So sige, siguro to further explain. Siguro my first teaching experience is with grade 7 students. So ayan, mga bata talaga, no? Parang kaagaling lang nilang ng elementary. So for them K to 12 na to. So hindi na siya yung dati na grade 7, ito lang yung subject na pag-aaralan natin, yung K to 12 curriculum kasi, 'di ba? Four subjects intertwine. So yung mga grade 7 student, first quarter, yung focus namin chemistry. So kailangan talaga nilang matuto ng elements. So ako naman, paano ko kaya mapapa-familiarize yung mga 118 elements sa mga bata?
Yeah.
So applying theory and practice. So parang ginawa na ako every day, so they have to familiarize themselves with 20 elements. And then parang nagpa-candy challenge ako. So ganito 'yon. So meron akong flashcard, 'di ba? May mga flashcard. For example, hydrogen, H lang yung nakalagay. So may mga flashcards ako. So yung drill namin, so dapat every student must answer the flashcard na nakatutok sa kanila. So, for example, age meaning hydrogen. So, for example, sabi ng estudyante, yung flashcard ko, age, pero yung sabi niya, helium. So, ang gagawin ng student nun, bibigyan niya ako ng candy dun sa basket. So instead na negative na implication na mali ka, bibigyan niya ako ng candy.
Yeah.
And then, so syempre, until na matapos namin yung mga 118 elements, so ano mangyayari dun sa basket? Syempre, definitely, puno yun. So I'll be asking from the class, eh, parang challenger, the bravest of them all, to correctly answer all the flashcards. And then, kapag nakuha niya, if done successfully, sa kanya na yung ano, sa kanya na yung basket of candy. So, siya na bahala kung gusto niyang i-share yun sa classmates niya. And that's how I teach high school. Playful yet motivating. And syempre sa college naman, hindi naman ako pwede magpa-challenge.
Ano. Candy.
When I teach, I always frame the question, the lessons, activities with their future professions. Parang it always involved, syempre bas mataas na ano, higher order thinking skills. So talagang nag-a-analyze na sila ng mga situations. Hmm. I'm already asking them to create plans of action in relation to their field and our subject. So more of sharing their perspective about the lessons. And yun nga, yung mga activities ko sa college, dapat talaga heightening their critical thinking.
I see the logic. Maganda nga yun. And I especially like yung hina-highlight mo na in relation to their future path. Oh, you better pay attention to this because this will be relevant to your life outside of the academe. Yes. Diba?
Oo, kasi mas authentic yung learning eh. Kapag kasi alam ng bata na they can use this in real life, nakikita nila yung usage talaga ng lesson. Mas naiinggan silang matuto. Ayan. So, mas maganda talaga na inaano, pina-frame talaga siya with their future professions.
Yes. And lalo na when you're teaching subjects like, for example, math. Kasi I just read this the other day.
Okay.
Na parang, natas napaisip ako, minsan-minsan yung comment section ng Facebook may mapapala ka rin maganda eh. Kasi kadalasan iniiwasan ko yan dahil maraming medyo toxic eh. pero pag mga academic links yung nakashare or mga news about studies and stuff or teaching resources, minsan insightful yung comments eh. Like, there was this article na na-share about the right way to teach math. Or mga styles, no, in teaching math. One of the usual na pabiro na comments ng mga estudyante is, eh, gagamitin ba namin yung algebra sa real life, di ba? Gagamitin ba namin yung mga complicated math na yan, yung paghahanap ng derivatives? Eh, di ko naman gagamitin yan pag nagtrabaho na ako eh. So, there's an argument, syempre, that some of these lessons magagamit natin in actuality, kung halimbawa yung profession natin ay engineer or teacher or ano, pero there was one comment that caught my eye. Sabi niya, when you look at ano, and I'm paraphrasing, no, but sabi niya, when you look at these subjects, yung tinuturo na algebra ganyan, hindi naman nag-algebra araw-araw, literally nagka-calculate araw-araw, but what you're actually doing is you're training your mind to perform these complicated logical operations, to handle multiple concepts faster and with minimal error. So while you may not see yung value ng actual calculations ng numbers, and frankly, maybe your future profession might not involve that, you will thank your teachers someday for teaching you how to think better and faster. So ang ganda.
Ang ganda nga, oo. Naging debate din ata yan nun sa amin sa EDTOC. May mga college courses pa ako nun. Parang yun nga, yung algebra nga, saan naman daw yun gagamitin. Pero tama. Tama naman kasi is parang you are training yourself for ano, better critical thinking. Drills talaga yung math. Yeah. Ganun. So,
lalo na yung mga may unknown, di ba? Kasi we don't really recognize it kasi we don't see letters and variables in our everyday decisions. Pero we actually do use calculations ng find X. Like, magkano ba dapat yung makakatawa pero yung simpleng magkano ba yung sukli ko pag binili ko to, ito, ito, tsaka to? Mas makakamura ba ako dito versus kapag ito? Dapat ba lakarin ko na papuntang grocery kung makakaano ako dito? Or yung time ba na uubusin ko dito ay pwede kong gamitin for something else? So yung mga ganong complicated decisions that don't look like they involve a lot of math at first, actually it's your brain applying at last those lessons that you hated so many years ago.
Oo. Talagang ano eh. May ano talaga siya. Helpful din and very advantaging. May mga advantages din talaga yung mga ano sa math. Di ba sa Facebook, napakahilig ng mga naglalagay ng mga figures na may apple, may banana, tapos may mga equal sign. Tapos,
yes.
Inaalala ata ako doon na may nag-comment, mga colleagues ko din ata, ayaw na ayaw nyo sa algebra, pero tuwang-tuwa kayo sa ganyan na, ano, na activity. So, di ba ganun din yun?
Exactly. Agreed.
Gusto lang pala talaga nilang palitan yung X ng, ayaw, ng apple, ng banana. Parang yun kasi yung napansin natin din.
Totoo, di ba? Nasa presentation.
Oo, at talagang visual learners siguro nga tayo.
Yeah, that's true. I have to agree. And I find it interesting that you mentioned advantages and visual learning because my next question is going to have a lot to do with that. Now, as we know, as we are recording this in the year 2021, year two of this global pandemic, we are still not back to business as usual, especially in schools, no? And face-to-face classes have become a thing of the past. Hopefully, you know, someday makabalik tayo dyan because I feel na learning in the classroom, or maybe I'm biased kasi I grew up, syempre, karamihan naman sa atin, halos naman lahat tayo siguro na nasa ganitong sitwasyon ngayon, thinking about these things ay nakaranas ng face-to-face classes. But now, medyo naglilean tayo towards virtual setups, no? And online teaching. And while that has some perks, it also has a lot of, well, not so good things. So, from the perspective of an educator, how does teaching science in face-to-face classes compare to teaching it online? What are the pros and cons of each setup?
So, nung face-to-face, I was able to teach high school students, no? So, siguro, during face-to-face, syempre, yung the best visual aid talaga natin is yung environment, yung nature, and science is really meant to be taught with nature, ano. So, when we shifted virtually, nawala yun. Kasi imagine, observing plants sa labas or animals, naging complex at unsafe na nga talaga siya to do. Nawalan tayo ng mga physical interactions. Kasi science, di ba, nagsisimula yan sa ano, observation, and then asking questions. So, nalimit tayo sa digital setup. And then sa face to as compared dun sa exchange of thoughts, 'di ba? Sa face to face, ano talaga eh, uninterrupted and bas konti yung distractions kasi nga contained kayo sa isang lugar, sa room ganyan. And then pag sa ano kasi sa online, hindi naman natin ma-expect na lahat ng students have a very conducive learning space. So, syempre may mga factors na naghihinder doon, like syempre yung connectivity problems. Tapos hindi rin natin ma-expect, 'di ba, na yung mga cameras nila naka-open lagi. Siyempre may mga they have to conserve internet data. So sometimes teaching feels like doing a monologue. Parang kausap mo na 'yung sarili mo. Tapos siyempre blacks 'yung screen. I mean, 'yung mga names lang nila, 'yung mga photos lang nila. Siyempre as a teacher na parang malalaman mo kung may nakikinig sa'yo, di ba? Kapag mawari, may mga tumatango, may mga nag-agree sa mga gestures.
Yeah.
Pero kasi ngayon, nawala yun. So, kasi kapag pinapanood ko ulit yung ano namin, yung mga recorded lectures, may times na inuulit ko yung sarili ko, parang ang kulit. kasi nga pala ako naririnig na walang acknowledgement nga. So, ang daming nawala. Tapos, yun din, yung increase sa students, dati, parang ang dali lang nila mag-ask ng questions. Sometimes, puntaan ka pa rin sa faculty room. Pero ngayon kasi, online. So, we just exchange 2 emails and sometimes, hindi naman yun real-time. Sometimes, it will take us some time before we can respond or it will take the student some time before they can read it, yung mga ganyan. So, ang konti talaga na nakikita ko na advantages ng online classes. Siguro, eto na lang, yung advantage na siguro is educational technology itself. We can gamify the lessons. Di ba yung Kahoot? Kaya hindi na siya limited sa EDUC, di ba? Kahit yung mga ginagamit na rin siya as activities, di ba? Pag may mga Zoom reunion yung mga magkakaibigan, no? So, yun, gamifying yung lessons. And syempre yun, collaborate like us, kahit nasa different places tayo, we're still connected. So, yun talaga yung naging mga advantages and disadvantages ng online teaching or online education itself.
Yeah, and actually yung nabanggit nyo na challenge of yung looking for acknowledgement kapag nagsasalita ka, that is so real. Kahit sa mga meeting, yung mga Zoom camera na naka... And it's weird kasi ako, I'm gonna be honest, like, I don't like having my camera turned on while I'm in a Zoom meeting. Kasi baka kung ano-ano na yung ginagawa ko sa mukha ko, tapos hindi ko namamalayan, no? Tapos nakita nung nagmi-meeting, nakakahiya. Pero at the same time, alam ko naman na nakikinig ako, pero looking at this from the other side of the fence, oh nga, no, what is your assurance that the kids are actually listening? Diba?
Yes.
And,
oh,
And especially yung nagigets nila kasi tama kayo yung visual cues sa faces. If you start talking to a room full of students and you just see their faces like look blank after a lecture, parang maisip mo siguro kailangan ng extra, no? Extra attention. Pero in a Zoom, in an online digital setup,
wala.
Sasabihin lang sa'yo, opo, okay po, yes, tara, out na tayo, log out na. Parang,
ano nga yung meme, di ba? Pagkasabi mo doon ng thank you, ma'am, okay na daw. Di ba? Tapos na daw yung ano niya, yung role niya doon sa ano nila, sa klase nila. Yes po, ma'am, narinig po, ma'am. Mga ganun.
Oh, nakita ko nga yung post ng isang friend ko, ang daily pandemic schedule daw niya araw-araw, gising, log in sa Zoom, accept ng invite, turn off camera, say that yes, I can hear you, and then go back to sleep.
Oh, ayan.
Maganda, ha? Oo.
Diba? Ayun, wala talaga yung ano, yung tabi mo yung acknowledgement. Hindi mo alam kasi baka sumusobra na pala yung pag-share mo or baka nakokontian na pala sila sa pag-share. So, yung hirap niyang i-gauge kung ano ba, tama ba to, ginagawa ko, ganyan. So, ayun nga, that's the challenges talaga.
Oh, at sana nga, actually, if I may suggest lang, naisip ko lang tuloy ngayon, sana kung may nakikinig dyan na researchers or maybe asa na may government officials na nakikinig dito or under the DepEd, ganyan, it would be good to conduct surveys sana na gauging yung understanding or yung parang level of learning ng students from before the pandemic compared to now.
Oh,
I think magandang makita yon kasi we're all talking about the challenges and yung how to improve the system, but I think we can make better decisions with data. Diba? So if anyone's listening out there with like an interest in research, I hope this is siyempre it's a rough idea. You can refine it, but I hope this talk with Teacher Nay inspires someone out there to look into this. I think there's rich data here, lalo na for the Philippines na hirap tayo sa virtual setup.
Hirap talaga.
Oo. Pero masimulan na natin yung data gathering na yan, no? Ay, matanong kita, teacher. What is it like to teach college students yung environmental science? Because I think EnviSci yung talagang tinuturo mo sa virtual setup. And ano yung feedback nila sa'yo?
Ayan. So, ano kasi yung EnviSci, parang, ano siya, hindi siya for STEM students, so non-STEM students.
Uh-huh.
General elective siya. General education elective siya. So, ayan na nga. So, their background is very diverse. So, syempre, hindi ko naman expect na alam na nila kaagad.
Yeah.
Unlike dun sa mga under sa STEM strand or yung mga health allied. So, syempre, sobrang it's both challenging and exciting. So, nung one time, I did some nagbigay ako ng mga photos. Kasi nag-fieldwork ako sa Siargao. So, nag-provide ako ng mga photos ng mangroves, Philippine mangroves, ganyan. Tapos, in-explain ko yung mga mangroves, tapos yung mga endemic plant species. Parang yung feedback na receive ko dun sa mga bata, sabi nila, it's like breath of fresh air daw. Kahit nakikita lang nila sa mismong presentation, sabi nila, they find it enlightening and refreshing nga daw.
So that's great. I mean, iniisip ko pa lang, baka medyo nahihirapan silang mag-aral ng, kasi ako, environmental science, parang naisip ko, there should be a lot of demonstration, there should be a lot of, like, going out and seeing these things. Pero it's good to hear na it's working for them pala.
Oo. Na-appreciate nga talaga nila yung mga ganong photos. So, you can never have too many photos or videos to share. So, ayun. So, and then, siyempre sa environmental science. We believe na environmental science is one of the most important courses as a college student should take because it is, interdisciplinary. So, when I said na nature is the best visual aid, syempre, I'm not just referring to the physical attributes, So, we are also referring to the social implications. Kasi nga, parang kahit, kahit na diverse yung background ng mga college students, it is really important for them to really get to know environmental science because it's ano eh, the combination or synergy of natural sciences and social sciences. Like, how are we really connected with nature and nature with society? So, for example, sometimes I give them, I share with them the current and hottest environmental news in the country. So, chika, parang gano'n, parang mga gano'n na level. So, uy, ganito pala, ganyan. So, parang, for example, yung mga offshore mining, dam construction, yeah, yung mga...
Reclamation?
Yan. Tapos, yung mga so-called na smart cities, ano. And then, syempre, yung mga proposed na infrastructure sa mga natural heritage, no. So, I share with them the realities that we are facing. We don't just stop by defining environmental science, like yung terms, yung concepts, mm-hmm, we don't stop there. Eh. So we really have to discuss also the ano, the environment under the Anthropocene, yung under, you know, sa mga ano, sa mga works of man, and then syempre yung mga environmental laws, and ayun, kahit pa paano yung ano din, sustainability din. So mas naging challenging siya nga. I mean, hindi na nga nila nakikita. Tapos, syempre, science din. We know, science, para sa lahat naman, eh, sometimes really complicated, it's really complex, pero ayun.
Yeah.
That's how we really do it sa virtual. So, mas challenging talaga siyang gawin.
Nabanggit mo nga na challenging siya, pero I'd like to think na you guys are doing your best. I know this naman, na teachers are doing their best in these difficult times, pero challenging talaga yung teaching, and especially teaching science in the Philippines. So I guess I want to know from your experiences, ano ba yung areas na talagang hirap na hirap tayo sa Pilipinas pagdating sa science education, and ano yung pinaka-urgent na ayusin natin?
Sige. So ano to ha, disclaimer sa eyes to ng early career teacher and scientist.
Yes. So,
mga nakikita ko na ano, parang wag niyo po akong anuhin.
biglang may hate mail na pala eh. Nakapuha ganun.
Oh, hindi na, wag naman po ganun. So parang sa akin, ito yung naisip ko na areas is ano, yung mismong science teacher education, yung alam, yung courses ng mga future teachers. And then ito, meron akong, yung second one is quote-unquote, typhoon-sensitive curriculum. Parang yan. Yeah. And then, of course, science laboratory. So I mentioned nga, science teacher education, I think the government can improve the ano science teacher education by making the profession attractive. So paano ba ma-attract naman kasi yung mga youth? So syempre they have to improve the working conditions of teachers, 'di ba? Sometimes teachers are overworked and under, you know, undercompensated. So sana magkaroon ng mga livable wages and of course human workload. Kasi ano eh, teacher teaching does not stop kapag ano eh, kapag nag-lesson ka. Kasi after that, you have to prepare pa. You have to, ano pa, do the Czech Republic. So, yung mga ganun. So, sana, ano, I mean, mahirap na nga yung profession. Sana naman, yung, ano, worth it man lang sana yung pagod, yung hirap, ayan. And then, ayun nga, disclaimer again, hindi po ako, ano, hindi po ako expert in curriculum planning. So, may alam lang ng slide. So, ito yung sabi ko na quote-unquote, typhoon-sensitive curriculum. So, I got this idea from the chief mangrove authority, si Dr. Primavera. Sabi niya, ito, it's very interesting. Sabi niya, Filipino child should know about storm surges. If he will live up to 75 years, he will encounter 20 typhoons per year, which makes it 1,500 in his lifetime. And then, yung sabi ni mom yun, ay, and then it struck me, parang, kasi ano eh, alam ko yung curriculum ng ano sa DepEd, no? So from grade 1 to 10, yung typhoons natuturo lang siya sa ano, fourth quarter of grade 5 and second quarter of grade 8. Eh hindi lang naman typhoons ang pag-aaralan nila for that quarter. Syempre, may mga ano pa yung mga types of other precipitation, yung mga ganun. So kumpara pala sa ano, sa years ng ano ng basic education, we should really revisit the ano para mas strengthen yung environmental education nga dun sa curriculum. So, ayan. So, sana po huwag niyo po anuhin. Pero yun po, yung ano lang yan, parang humble, ano, opinion lang. Ayan. Tapos, ayan nga, usapang bagyo nga ulit, no? So, parang kasi, na-experience ko kasi yung typhoons, di ba, they usually cause class suspensions. So, kapag nasususpend ang klase, yung challenge lagi is nasa teacher na matapos yung lessons sa mga remaining class days, eh maybe they have to reconsider, siguro dapat i-downsize yung ano, yung scope. Baka sobrang dami pala. Yung ano natin, yung climate natin sa Pinas, ganito eh. Parang siguro kailangan ano, i-ano naman, i-apply yun. Baka kailangan, ano, baka it's about time na siguro we refine it, ganyan. Parang di naman, ano, more of quality than quantity siguro. Ayan. And then, last one, ay yung ano, science laboratories. Ayun, hindi naman kasi lahat tayo. I mean, not everyone has a good background with lab works, no? Nung high school sila. Tapos, ano eh, sometimes yung mga science lab, di ba, hindi pinapagamit yung microscope kasi nga mahal, kasi baka mabasa. So, bakit pa natin, ano? So, bakit pa natin, para ano yun, ano lang, showcase lang. So, sana, ano, mas maging accessible yung mga, ano, mga laboratories natin. Siyempre, para marami rin talaga tayong maturo sa mga estudyante. So, ayun.
Yeah, you know, you brought up a very good point dun sa last part with the science equipment. Kasi I've actually talked to some students from science high schools. Di ko na sabihin kung alin. Baka mapagalitan sila eh. Pero I've talked to some students from science high schools and they have mentioned na one of their challenges, personal challenges that make them sad is when they see these science equipment, science tools na they want to use, they want to appreciate, they want to really, ano, pero bawal gamitin kasi, ay, mahal yan. Isa lang yung ganyan ang school natin, dalawa lang yan. Medyo, ano, display lang muna. But they're there to be used. Okay, matakot na ma-wear down yan or masira or, di ba? Kasi the point of having those is not to make the laboratory look good, it's to make the laboratory functional.
Yes, functional dapat. Kasi parang one microscope tapos how many ano ba mga sujante? 40. Mga 40 tapos isa lang so hindi ka na talaga nakapag ano. Eh syempre paggagamit ka ng microscope, 'di ba talaga dapat you really have to take your time to adjust, to push the lenses. So maganda talaga ata na maraming mga ano equipment.
That's true. We should be providing students as much as we can in terms of helping them learn better kasi kung ano yung matutunan nila ngayon, yun yung daladala nila hanggang tumanda sila eh. So if you don't nurture that seed of science love sa at a young age by not giving them ways for practical application of science, how do we expect them to appreciate science better as they grow older?
Mm-mm, dapat we have to guide talaga with the proper equipment kasi hindi naman pwedeng ano lang lesson words ganun. So dapat talaga they have to really conduct the ano the experiment. Parang hindi lang ano puro concepts ganyan. So kailangan talaga we have to put it into practice.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Now it's not surprising that I learned a lot from you ngayong podcast in this podcast interview because you're an educator and a scientist and I'm grateful that you gave your time dito for this podcast. Yeah. And I'm sure that some other people will want to reach out to you. Hopefully not to send hate mail because
oh, nga, clarified kanina. Disclaimer lang po. Opinion lang po.
At saka syempre dapat open tayo sa feedback ang scientists nga, 'di ba? Open tayo to corrections, to new theories, evidence, 'di ba? So, pag may nagbigay ng feedback for points of improvement, dapat hindi natin masamain, dapat pag-isipan natin na pwede nga. Diba? But, yun nga, if they want to send nice messages or nice messages or maybe talk to you a bit more about what you do, maybe exchange some ideas or simply just follow your thoughts, no? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Even before I became a college instructor, I'm very active na rin sa Twitter, ganyan. So, doon ako nag-share ng insights ko, usually about teaching, and then Philippine mangroves, and then ano din, sa Instagram din, I usually share digital artworks of mangroves, ganyan. And then, before nag-TikTok was famous, ano, so I use, ano na, Instagram stories to teach in an interesting way. So, I tried to use social media na. So, it will not be the first time na may mag-reach out sa akin kasi usually talaga, students, ayan, they are reaching out to me kapag may mga questions sila. Usually sa mangroves naman. Wala naman about teaching. So, buti naman. about Philippine mangroves naman talaga. So, ayan. So, I'm very active SciComm account. For Twitter, ano, I am Nate Teach You. Ayan, yung verb lang na teach. Ayan. And then, sa Instagram naman, teachtraveltrain_nay. Ayan. So, marami akong gustong gawin kasi. Kaya ganun yung handle.
So, now that you've opened your inbox for people who want to reach out to you, I would like you naman to share some parting advice or nuggets of wisdom for aspiring science teachers, scientists, or science communicators out there, especially if they want to practice their craft here in the Philippines. Ano ba yung natutunan mo over the years na pwede mong i-share sa kanila?
Ayan. So, natutunan ko over the years talaga is, ano, do not be afraid to ask questions. Asking questions does not make you any less of a scientist or any professional. Asking a question is not a setback. It is a way forward. Hence, keep asking and answering questions. So, dapat ano rin, kailangan meron din mga answers, ano? So, dapat mag-search din tayo ng mga answers. So, aside from asking.
Yeah.
So, yun yung siguro yung main advice. And then, ano, when you feel that you are ready to do science, that, and then you're ready, hindi yung parang you feel like you're too young, too old, hindi. Basta you feel like you want to do science, then go, do science. Kasi ikaw naman talaga, parang yung mga opinions ng iba, ano lang yan. Ano lang, parang hindi talaga malaking ano yung ano nila yung stress sa magiging decision mo. So just do what you love, ayun. So ayun, so definitely you will be ano saturated with the work of science ganyan. So ano lang, pahinga lang din kasi mga ano naman tayo before scientists, ano lang tayo mga we're human. So parang take time to rest ganyan and then readjust your ano lang ibang perspective ganyan and then definitely, you will succeed in your field.
For all the students out there who are listening to this podcast, sana you take time to appreciate your teachers kasi the work that they put into this to help both you and themselves to transition or to traverse this difficult period, it's not a joke. So, as you've heard from the past 40 or so minutes of us talking about science education in the Philippines, ito ay ginagawa ng mga teachers because they want to help guide you and to help develop your appreciation for the sciences. So every once in a while naman, maybe show your gratitude then to them. And it can be as simple as paying attention. Like really.
Yes,
ganun right. Lang talaga. Diba? Just and you're not just doing it for them, you're doing it for yourselves then. Kasi remember that everything that they teach you now, they're teaching you for a reason. You might not see the practical reasons behind why you're learning these lessons now, but for sure may contribution yan to who you will become someday.
Ayun, tama yun.
So yun.
Ang ganda. Mga students.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you so much, Ulit, for spending time with me for this podcast. And good luck to your continued teaching career. And I hope that you... find more ways to share the love for science with your students and that you continue to help shape young minds.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ask Theory. Follow Flip Science on Facebook, at Flip Science PH on Twitter, and at Flip Facts on Instagram. And check out our official Shopee store if you want to get copies of our books, Historiang Científico and Science Scramble. Stay curious.